today's cross-examination, very, very special. Today, I get cross-examined. That's right. The cross-examiner becomes the cross-examinee. I don't even know that that's a term, a cross-examinee, but that's what we're doing today. We asked you for questions, and did you show up? We got hundreds of questions within an hour worth of time. We're not going to get to all of them, but we're going to get to as many of them as we can. Let's get after it. But before we begin, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Really does help the channel. Remember to visit all of our sponsors. It's the best way you can support the work that we are doing here. But we are ready to rock and roll on this cross-examination of your star witness, James Sexton. Let's do it.
All right, Jim. Before we start, me and Matt were having a little pre-production meeting regarding cross-examination.
I was not aware of any meeting with
well,
the
Well, no. This was, you know, producers only. The talent was excluded okay. because we've decided that for cross-examination, you might have to tighten it up a little bit, you know? Some might even say that you're a little verbose, a little long-winded, maybe a little too chatty, gregarious.
How very well dare you. You first of all, if I was the strong silent type, you wouldn't be eating people, okay? That is not like the appeal of Sexton is the Sextonism of it. And you're telling me you okay. So what do you want? Brevity is the soul of wit. We're getting Shakespearean. Okay.
No, I'll go.
You want one word answers?
Bringing my sports world into this.
It's
we're gonna
a
go
bit much, Matt, from you? This is coming. I need a minute. I'm sorry. I need a minute.
We're going to start with people. People seem to really love your behind the scenes look behind the curtain of your law
sure.
career. We begin with the biggest amount of money your client ever got from a divorce.
$400 million.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a client who got about $400 million ultimately, total package when you add it all up. Yeah.
And that is straight cash to your account? How does that work?
It was a combination of equity and real estate, invested funds, and retirement accounts. You combine it all up. It was
has there ever been a just straight cash, homie? That's like a crazy number.
Yeah, I've had people that did like 20, 30 million in just a straight, you know, out of like, I'm going to keep all the real property. I'm going to keep all the like headaches that come with it. I'm just going to give you a buyout. I'll keep the retirement assets, all the deferred assets. I'm just going to give you a straight liquid. I think it was like 30 million. Here you go.
Sign me up for that.
It was pretty good. Yeah, that was one of those like, I'll just pay whatever for you to go away mm-hmm. kind of things.
I'm going to keep these anonymous because some of this stuff is sure. sensitive going forward. If you'd like your name to be shouted out, you can specify that.
Also, because it's a lot of stuff you and Matt probably wrote just to embarrass me. No, that's great.
This one is short and sweet, but pretty heavy. Your take on having zero attraction to your husband, but he is great in all the other ways.
That's tough.
That is tough.
Poof, only a minute. Okay. I would say probably get divorced or have a conversation with your spouse about that because it's got to be damaging this person's self-esteem that you're not attracted to them and you got to figure out some mechanism because if they're still attracted to you and you're not attracted to them, there's a real disproportionate effect there unless you're capable of sort of pretending that you're attracted to this person still. See, that was under a minute.
Next up. What? next up.
Oh, take your time.
I was about to be long-winded and bring up your book because I know in your book you talk about how you were destined to be a divorce lawyer. Mm-hmm. You chose it and did it.
It was my destiny.
But this question says, what would you have become if you did not go to law school? Was there ever a plan B?
No, there wasn't a plan B. I probably would have stayed a professor. I was teaching at NYU when I decided to leave and go to law school. I had finished my master's degree. I was working on my PhD. And I was a professor. I was Professor Sexton. And I probably would have stayed teaching.
But that was still law-based?
No, was teaching cultural anthropology.
Wow. Okay.
I was teaching propaganda studies was what my master's degree was focused on. And I probably would have finished my PhD and I probably would have taught. That was what I was doing when I decided to go to law school. I realized that, you know, you did not make much of a living as a professor, and it felt like it was going to be a very difficult life. Publisher perish, like modern academe. Even back then, 1997 is around when that was. I realized that the future for academia was much more challenging than it would be practicing law. And thank God I made the choices that I made. At the time, everyone thought I was insane.
I'm going to tweak this one a little bit because I know he's in a different field of law.
Okay,
but let's say if your son was also a divorce lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And you were going up against
him. Oh, I saw this question. Yeah. It was like, have you gone against your son in court?
Can you
You could
do that?
Not legally go against your family member. You have what's called consanguinity, which is that you have a tie to each other. Just like if he ever, he works in the court system now, so I could never appear in front of a judge that he works for or with in any way, because the appearance of impropriety is the standard. My son is a very different kind of lawyer than me. He's a very academic lawyer. He is a appeal lawyer. He works in the appeals section primarily. And so we have very different areas of practice. He works in criminal law primarily, and I work exclusively in family law. I'm incredibly proud of him. I'm all bright ties and bullshit. He is very academic. He's got real
brains. Smarter than you.
He's smarter than me. He got his mother's brains, thank God.
If he was into divorce law, would you have been open to working with him? Like,
I never want to work with family. Yeah. I don't actually think that ends well. I think that I don't see my sons clearly. Like, they're my sons. I love them. You know, I love them more than anything. So I just don't see them clearly. And I think it would be hard to work with people who I don't see clearly and can't relate to on that level. I think there should be a separation of business and personal. And I think having a family member work with you, I could see the appeal of it. It'd be really fun to see my sons that often. But I just don't think it's the right thing for me.
Next up, I'm still married. Help me divorce this whore. That was not me, by the way. That was a viewer. That was a viewer question. And actually, he misspelled whore and said hole. Maybe he meant hole. I don't know. Either way, this guy needs help getting divorced.
I think he's going to need some help. And I feel like if you want to make a consult, you can call the office. I don't know that I can help you with the whole whore. I don't know what she is, but I don't. I also assumed her gender. I don't know.
Do you have any heroes? And who is your favorite author now? And who was your favorite growing up?
Oh my God, that's three questions. Three and one, have any heroes? I have a lot of people.
Can't say Neil Postman.
Okay, then I don't. No, I have one less. Living heroes or people that I would want to emulate?
You tell me.
Yeah, there's a lot of people I'm cheering for. There's a lot of people I'm inspired by. So I think we all have the capacity to be heroic. So there's a lot of people that I look at and take inspiration from.
Do you have one that's like, you know, Abraham Lincoln or somebody like a famous historical figure or something?
I kind of can't get through any of Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches without getting teary-eyed. I think that the speech he gave right before he was assassinated, the garbage strike, where he talks about how he's not afraid to die, because there'd been so many like threats on his life. And he talks about the fact that, yeah, he'd love to live a long life, but all he wants to do is God's will. Like, to me, it's like, that's just the most beautiful speech ever. I can't get through it without crying. I think Jesus is really inspirational. I was raised very religious. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the gospel. I'm a big fan of the message of Jesus, whether it was true or not, or whether it's just a really good story that's inspirational. I find that very beautiful. Thich Nhat Hanh, Buddhist monk, I find him very inspirational. So there's a lot of people that I take tremendous inspiration from. Many are famous historical figures like that, and some of them are just people that you interact with or that you see in entertainment. I watch Love on the Spectrum, and I feel like I'm inspired by that in real ways, by the humility and the courage that you see on that. So I think you can take inspiration from all kinds of places. Favorite author now, I would say Cormac McCarthy remains my favorite current author. I love Bret Easton Ellis as well. Rules of Attraction, Less Than Zero, American Psycho. Cormac McCarthy, I love. I would say in terms of technical writing, I would say Anthony Doerr, All the Light We Cannot See and Cloud Cuckoo Land, I think are two of the most incredibly well-written books I've ever read. Jason Green, Unworld, one of my favorite books I read in the last several years. Favorite authors growing up were Stephen King, still stands up, still his writing. Needful Things, one of my favorite books ever written. Salem's Lot, I think the purest, most elegant, right, simple writing I've ever seen. But man, what a storyteller he is. I read those books and I get mad at how good they are and how well written they are. So yeah, I mean, I read constantly. I'm always reading at least two or three books. Dave Barry, the former like humor columnist for, I think, the Washington Post or one of those papers, he has written several fiction books that are among the best books I've ever read. Big Trouble is one of them that was made into a film, but read the book. It is one of the funniest books you could ever read. And I also would say Tom Perata. Tom Perata is one of my favorite authors. Little Children, Election. He's written some phenomenal books. He wrote the book, The Leftovers, that was the inspiration of the HBO show. Mm-hmm. His writing is dark and hilarious. I'm trying to write fiction now. I'm wrestling with it. And Tom Perata is absolutely my inspiration in terms of who I want to sound like.
We gave you some extra time on the clock because that was like three in one.
It was three
but
questions.
Don't get out of control here, Jim.
I thought I was crushing it.
How about this? In the early stages of dating, which matters more, practical or emotional compatibility?
In the early stages of dating, I would say emotional compatibility is probably more important. But then as you settle into relationship, I think practicality comes more into play. Like what you find exciting and interesting in the early days of dating is important. You have to have spark, you have to have connection, you have to have chemistry with a person. And if you don't have that, there's no point in going forward. But once you've established that you have that, which I think you could have with lots and lots of potential people, then we start to get into practicality. Do we have some of the same views, morality, things like that? You see how much faster I'm talking to try to squeeze as much in?
This comes from the Divorce Warrior. He says, what is the biggest lie divorce lawyers tell men? And how does that end up costing them everything? That feels like a specific maybe experience he went through. But are there other lies that that
I don't lie to my clients. So I don't, I can tell you the only experience I have with how people lie to their clients is what people tell me their prior lawyer said to them, which I acknowledge may be filtered through this person, because what I say and what somebody hears sometimes are very different, because clients very often misinterpret even the most clear thing you can say to them. So what is a lie that I think men get told? I think there are some lawyers who, in the interest of marketing, tell men that you need to hire me because I specialize in men's rights and, you know, the system is rigged against men and you need a man who can come in and fight the system and put it on trial. I don't think that that's true. I don't think the system is rigged against men. I think there are some stereotypes that men have to move against, just like there are some that women have to move against in the court system. But that's just the reality of the world, and the fact that the makeup of the bench. So I think that the idea that the system is rigged against men and therefore please hire me specifically because I can fix it, I think that's a really pernicious and pervasive lie. I am so excited to talk about Proper Cloth. I have to tell you, I have been wearing Proper Cloth shirts exclusively for over a decade now. Absolutely my favorite shirts on the market, customized in every possible way. I like to show a little extra cuff on this because I like my French cuffs and my cufflinks. I like to have a little watch allowance on here. Proper Cloth gives you the ability to have a shirt that is perfectly customized. You're not going to break the bank. There is nothing better out there than Proper Cloth. Check out ProperCloth.com. Use offer code SEXTON, S-E-X-T-O-N, for 10% off your first order at propercloth.com.
Have you seen a divorce agreement hinge on custody of pets?
Yes. I've had a client explicitly say to me, the dog is the ball. Like everything else is ancillary. I want my dog.
Wow.
That's the main thing.
Was it you?
It would be me. No, it would not. I gave up the cat at the time. It was a long time ago. No, I think it's a common thing. People have very deep feelings towards their pets. If you say to most people, there's a fire in your house, what of your property or your pets do you take? First thing everybody says is my pets. Of course, my pets, they're irreplaceable. There's nothing tangible that I own that is as important as the pets.
We have a few questions here with the eye emojis, with the monkey covering its eye emojis. Are you single? Are you single? Are you in a relationship? Are you single?
As opposed to plural, am I single? Are you asking for you, Kevin? Because that's, come on. You don't have to be so coy.
I couldn't get the courage to do it myself. You don't have to be so I submitted it anonymously.
Aw, that's cute. That's adorable.
Do you, this guy must not listen. Do you still do jujitsu? Because if you're listening, brother, he'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. No, I do a lot of jiu-jitsu. I still train. I still train at Marcelo Garcia Academy. I train actually at a number of schools. I train wherever I can get the training in, but my primary academy is in New York City at Marcelo Garcia. But yeah, I still train. I still love to train. I can't train the way I used to in my 50s. You know,
Show them the toe.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Kevin. That's great. Yes. I'm wearing a Birkenstock with socks because I broke a toe while training. Yeah. I got a Ferragamo on one foot and then I got a broken toe on the other one. So yeah, I'm constantly injuring myself now doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu still, but I still love it. I don't think I'll ever give it up. I'd like to be like Helio Gracie and be 90 years old still doing it.
This might be my favorite question so far.
Okay.
Have you ever known any couples who don't end in divorce?
Very few. Very few. I mean, I know very few, and the ones who I know that don't end in divorce probably should have, you know, mm-hmm. So I've got couples that ended in divorce is the majority, and then I got couples that are still married and probably shouldn't be. And then there's an incredibly small number of couples that I'm like, still married, still into it, still happy. Amy and Chris, that's you. We're talking about you guys. Yeah, I mean, that's really it's a small list. That's a small list.
Next up in the jiu-jitsu world, gi or no gi?
Gi. Because I'm an old man and I need to slow the position down. I do know gi, but I do it because it's like, okay, you have to do it. But the risk of injury is so much higher. And so, yeah, I like gi because I can like hang out and I have all kinds of grip things I can
Is that
do.
Almost like a snowboard skier thing? Like, do people judge? And Yeah.
Totally. A lot of people really come in and do no gi from the beginning. I think you don't learn as much in terms of technique and holding positions and things that you need to learn with the gi. I think you should start in the gi and you shouldn't really start doing no gi until you have some basics. And then I think but if you just stay in the gi and you never do no gi, you have an incomplete game. You have holes in your game, as we call it. So yes, I prefer gi, but I also still maintain a ratio of no gi. I just also don't really love wearing rash guards. They're very unforgiving.
So. last up, we got a marry, fuck, kill.
Oh boy.
Ann Coulter, Megyn Kelly, Candace Owens.
Oh, for God's sakes. All right, I'm going to marry Megyn Kelly. Oh, shit, it can't be the same, huh? I was like, I would fuck and marry Megyn
That's the
Kelly.
Game.
Oof. Oh, man. That's a tough one.
I think I have an answer. I think I know exactly I what gotta, I would do. You're I on got, the right track. I think your first answer is correct.
Yeah, I gotta kill Ann Coulter.
Have to.
I mean, I guess the problem is that the fuck, it's like, could it be like punishment fuck? Like, does it have to be friendly?
No, you can
like,
fuck her. I also think that Candace would be a good time.
Because I can't. Yeah, I don't.
You don't think so?
I think Candace would be a really, she wouldn't stop talking about the Epstein scandal or something. Like, it'd be all the way through.
She'd just be mispronouncing
just
words
be like,
the whole time.
Stop. Like, just la 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 la. Like, if I think that'd be difficult.
How
I,
about this? Let me put a James Sexton twist on
all
it.
All right.
Divorce, fuck, kill. So you have to go through the process.
You
got to
marry.
Because then I don't think you want Ann Coulter then.
No,
right?
I'm going to go Candace Owen because we watched her get divorced from the Daily Wire and she wasn't a messy bitch about it. So I feel like I feel like we learned something about how she does exits. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think Megyn Kelly, I got to go. I would if you could multiple category. See, it'd be great if you could just be like, yeah, I'd marry and kill this one, you know, like in that order, you know.
I hope in that order.
Yeah, well,
if you do that in that order, it gets
first,
a little weird.
Get Jesus involved, you know what I mean? Like, all right, well, you could. Yeah, I understand what the order marry, that would kill, be disorder. Fuck. Okay, I mean, let's go Ed Gein about it. Why not? Yeah, I think that would be a difficult. That's a real Sophie's choice. Those three, you really made that difficult for me.